the Kudei, Tavshin Ayin Tes, returning the Shechinah to our lives, Be'ezer Hashem. In any event, so some of this is Chazara, right? So the Miracle and the Kudei are related, and then some could be called some new things as well. So first of all, the first pasuk in the parsha says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, Asher Pukad Alpi Moshe, Avodas Levim Biad Isamar Ben Aaron HaKohen. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. So the word Pekudei, right, there's discussion amongst the Rishonim, what's it referring to? Is it referring to all the countings that take place in Parshas Pekudei? Or is it talking about all of the different vessels, right, that they spoke about being made in Parshas Vayakhel? But in any event, right, called Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, it's called the Mishkan HaEdus. So Rashi says, why is it called the Mishkan HaEdus? He says, Eidus li Yisrael, Shevite lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Maisa Egel, Sharei Hishcha Shinoso Beinehem. Right? So Rashi says, right, why is it called the Mishkan HaEdus? It's called the Tabernacle of what we call Testimony. Right? The Tabernacle of Testimony. He says, because it's a testimony to the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevater, right? Mevater, right? To them on the, what do you call it, on the Maisa Egel, on the fact that they made the golden calf. So first of all, that terminology, vitur, right? Vitur, not to be confused with detour.
It was a testimony of Hashem.
That Hashem has, what do you call it, was mevater to them. What does it mean to mevater? Like, you know, like you tell, you know, you got your six-year-old and your four-year-old. And you gave the six-year-old, what do you call it, you want to give the six-year-old, something special, and the four-year-old begins to cry, he wants it. So you ask the six-year-old, be mevater to him, right? What does he mean, mevater? Just don't think about it, let him have what he wants, and don't think about it. It's not the same thing as forgiving. Vitur is ordinarily, the Chazal say, kol omer vatranu, anybody who says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a vatran, right? And he says, it's no sweat, you're okay, I'm okay, it's California, it didn't make any difference anyway, right? Yeah? So what do you call anybody who says that, he's been vater on his guts, or he's been mevater on his life. In other words, you got a messed up view of the world.
What does mevater mean?
And mevater means like, forget about it. Like, what do you call it, vater? Deep vater, you know, forgo it. So what he calls, so the Chazal say, under normal circumstances, that anybody who says something like that about Hashem, right? Oh, Hashem, it's okay with him. He doesn't care. What he calls, he's mevater. He doesn't make a difference. See, what did he care if I did this? It was Machal Shabbos. I was over Gilei Arayos. What does he care? He doesn't care. He's mevater. He says it's okay. It's no sweat, right? It's like I said. It's like, oh, it's like California, right? It doesn't make any difference. You're okay. I'm okay. Everything's fine. So what he calls, or nearly this good Chazal say, anybody who says that, He's just tossed out his life. Because if that's your attitude towards life, right, that doesn't make any difference, then you're messed over. So the Chazal say it's true that Hashem's general conduct is he's not a vatran. He doesn't say it doesn't make any difference. Of course it makes a difference. But there are certain circumstances where he does employ the midah of vitur, right? Now, in other words, like you could be mevater sometime. What do you call it? You say what do you call your wife? You've got to insist about doing this and that, the next thing, etc. And you say it's not fair. He said, "Oh heck, forget about it. I'm going to forgo the whole thing." Right? But that doesn't mean that typifies your personality all the time. It doesn't. Right? So what do you call it? So over here, he had to use the concept of vitur. Had to use the concept of vitur. Why?
Why?
Because they sinned with the golden calf. Now, sitting in the golden calf, Chazal say, Aluva Kala, Shezitza Bechupasa. How shamed is the Kala that she was Mizana, that she committed adultery in the midst of her own chuppah? Right? Like, you can't think of anything more grotesque than that. She's walking down to the chuppah, they're playing the music. Da 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 da. And there she's waving to some, what do you call, Lothario there in the crowd, right? And what do you call it? Like, that's, ugh, like, we call it, like, excuse me, like reverse peristalsis city, right? Because like that's grotesque. How can you recover from something like that? So that's why the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Chesed De'emes No Techesed La'afim No Se'ovum Afesha V'Chata'ov V'Nakei, right? V'Zlachol V'Nim V'Chalteinu V'Chaltanu. Those are called the Yud Gimel Midos HaVitur. because there's no way to just stomp forgive it, right? You gotta go into a whole new, you gotta change gears altogether. And that's what it says, that it revealed a level of love that was so deep between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and what he called and Klal Yisrael, that even that wasn't touched by such a grotesque act on their part. So that's what the idea, he was mevater to them. What's the simin? Because he caused his shechina to dwell in their midst. Right? That's our parsha here. Eila pekudei hamishkan, mishkan ha'edus. The mishkan is an edus. It's a testimony that Hashem was mevater the Klal Yisrael on the Chet Ha'Egel. So now, why is that? So the Gurari and the Maral.
So we didn't have seen, we wouldn't have had a mishkan.
There is big discussion. Maksim Afarshim is to when chronologically, was there a tzivu of the Mishkan before the Chet Ha'Egel, or the tzivu of the Mishkan only came after the Chet Ha'Egel? But even according to the opinion that there was a tzivu beforehand, but the nature of the Mishkan did change as a function of the Chet Ha'Egel. So the vitur over here, right, is the fact that how did it show that he has forgiven us? So the Maral explains the Rashi. How does it show it? How does it show that he's forgiven us?
He says the Mishkan. He told us how to make it.
Oh, so now the thing is like this. But he says, why aren't the Luchos? Why aren't the tablets? Are they their testimony also that he forgave us? He gave us a set of tablets.
Second set of tablets.
Right. Says the Maral, no, that's not a proof. It's not a proof that he loves us again. Right. Hmm. He says because the tablets, the law, right. That's incumbent upon us to do. He wants us to do it. Doesn't show that he loves us. He said, but you only live with somebody that you love. And if he said, we call make a Mishkan, and you and I are going to live together there, right? It shows he loves us. So that shows he was mevater on the, what he called on the Chet Ha'Egel. In other words, if the relationship had not been repaired, then maybe he would have insisted on, what he called, our doing certain things, you know, but I'm going to keep a distance. But the fact that he's going to dwell together with us in the Mishkan, right? That shows that, what he called, that he forgave us. Okay. That's the first thing. That's what the Gur Arya, the Maral, said on this first Rashi, of why the Mishkan is a unique testimony to the fact that Hashem had forgiven us.
You only live somebody with.
You only live with somebody you love, right? Okay. Now, so that would call it, so that being the case, the Mishkan then is what they call, you know, in Lumdus as were, they call that's a siman. It shows it's indicative of his having forgiven us. It's indicative, but in the Medrash we see that not only is the Mishkan indicative of his having forgiven us. But the process of the Mishkan is a cause to forgive us. It is what we accomplished, what we became aware of, what we would call our attitude, right, towards the building of the Mishkan, what we learned from building the Mishkan is not just a siman, it's not just symbolic of having forgiven us, it helps rectify the damage. The building of the Mishkan helps rectify the damage.
Process.
Right. The process of the Mishkan helps rectify the damage that we did by the Chet Ha'Egel. This is what we discussed last week in Vayakel, right? The idea that there was a fundamental, right, flaw in their approach to life. In other words,
I was on our part.
Right, on our part.
We developed that the giving of the year.
Right, so what do you call it? Right, Bidyuk, right? Remember what he calls it. It says, like we've learned, the Tikkun HaZohar taught us that it's the Pasuk says in Yishayahu, Su'u Marom Neichem Ru'u Mi Bara Eila, right? That a Jew's goal during life is whenever he comes into contact to anything, right? There it happens, he's talking, looking up into the heavens, right? But it's true with everything, really, right? It's true with everything, that every experience and every object that he comes into contact with, he has to know that all of the Eile, all of the things, etc., there's one me behind all of it. There's one Shoresh, there's one root that's behind all of it. Every event and every object and every relationship and everything that we do and everything that we have to react to, etc., there's one Shoresh, one source. And that's who? That's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's like the Zohar says, the Tikkuni Zohar says, me and Eila spells Elohim. Right? With a hey, obviously not a kuf. Elo followed by him. Right? Me and Eila. So now, in the Mishkan...
Who's me?
Me is this one, you know, who, that's a who.
Oh,
who, there's one who behind all the Eila. Right? And that's Hashem. That's Elohim. So we discussed last week, right? We're just going to just chazer briefly, right? The chazer briefly, just what we said last week, was that through their sin of the golden calf, which was based upon the pasuk, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, once again, that word Eila, right? Eila Elohecha Yisrael, the Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God, the Jewish people. In other words, they thought they could harness forces, right, in Hashem's world to guide them, etc., right? This is a fundamental flaw. This is a fundamental flaw in their approach. And so the tikkun, the how to fix that, was by rectifying their approach to Eila, to these things, right? And how they do that? So last week's parsha Vayakel, right, it says, Eila Dvarim, Asher, what do you call it? These are the things that you should do, right, with regard to making the Mishkan, that's in last week's Parsha. These are the things you should do. And then it says, immediately launches into, Sheshis Yomam Teosem Lacha, goes into the Mitzvah Shabbos, because Shabbos is what he calls the watershed event in the Jew's life, right, that returns into one, Hashem's oneness, right? He remembers that Hashem is the source of the world, Hashem is the destiny of the world, right? When we talk about Hashem's creation, that means He is the source of reality, right? He is the source of reality. Right? So He's the source of our being. He wills, therefore, we be. And what he called, and since He is our source of being, right? So everything He does is with intent. That means everything that happens to us is with the same intent as a continuation of that initial creation of us. And as His providence upon us is a continuing record.
After forgiveness.
Well, before we get to forgiveness, we're talking about what we call with Shabbos.
Shabbos is another...
Right, it's a way to return to the idea of oneness. Right
after.
Right. And then he goes into discussing the building of the Mishkan. And then in this week's Parsha...
But I thought you said Shabbos came after the building of the Mishkan.
Shabbos... No, then it's first... He starts like it's a very funny thing. Like, we can last week remember here. It's an non sequitur. The Parsha starts off last week, Vayakel Moshe Eskola Dasmini Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem, Eile HaDvorim Asher Tziva Hashem L'Asol Zosam. That's clearly a reference to these are things you're going to do, and others in terms of building the Mishkan. And then all of a sudden, Sheishis Yomim Tiyasev Lachel, Uviyom Ashi Yelachem Kodesh, Shabbos Shabbos and Lashem, Kol Sevom Lachel Yumas, Lo Sevaro Eish Mechol Moshe Sechem Yom HaShabbos, right? All of a sudden, they got like, in parens here, the Mitzvah Shabbos.
First is the instructions.
First the instruction to build the Mishkan, right? And then it goes to Shabbos, then returns. So what do you call explaining? What is the building of Mishkan? Vayom Moshe El Kol Tas B'nei Yisrael, Zeh Adavar Shetiva Hashem Leimor, Kchu Mitchem, Truma Lashem, Kol Adilivo, collect all the stuff, all the gold, the silver, copper, etc., and make all the different kalim. So it's like, you know, there was like time out for a station break in the middle. We'll talk about Shabbos, because he says that's the only way, right, to rectify their having detached themselves from this concept of oneness is to, what he calls, to reconnect, like this, through Shabbos, to what he calls the concept of oneness, and then, what he calls, then now start building the kalim. But you'll always have in mind when you're building the kalim that the kalim are what he calls, are not something disjoint and something separate. Like, we do individual event, we evolve ourselves in all sorts of things in the world, right? All sorts of things in the world. We forget, you know, the bigger picture.
First we got the command to build it, then we got the command to keep Shabbos.
Well,
then
he doesn't even explain how to build it, and then he goes to Shabbos, and then he doesn't explain how to build it, because you need the idea of Shabbos. It's like they tell the joke, right? The Chassidim tell the joke, right? The Chassidim tell the joke that it's not a joke, it's what he calls a comment. But that you know that the what we call it, we're afraid of Hashem to the Chassidim. I'm not saying all Chassidim say this. Why don't I remember to turn this phone
on all the time? You have to add in this.
Okay, try to think. What do you call
it?
What do you call
it? Ah! 15 minutes this year.
I thought I was gonna actually pull it up the whole time. What do you call it? I'm not gonna say anything.
I'm trying to help you.
I know. That you're just... So the Chassidim say, we are afraid of Hashem,
right.
And the Misnagdim, they're afraid of Shkia. Get the joke? Well, the idea being, in other words, what they're claiming is, you've lost the big picture, guys. You've lost the big picture, right? In other words, you've reduced, I'm afraid of Shkia, right? At sunset. I shouldn't miss what it called the Zman, but you have to be afraid of Hashem. So they say, we're afraid of Hashem, you're afraid of Shkia. But the joke is in both directions. Because there's no such thing as being afraid of Hashem if you're also not afraid of Shkia. So in other words, it's both, what he calls, both directions. We live in a world of specialization. You've got some chevra, what he calls, the big picture. It gets down to the small points. What difference does it make? You hedge this, you fudge this. It doesn't make a difference, right? Right, so they've got the big picture, but they have no particulars inside the big picture. Then you've got other chevra, right, who are so caught up in the particulars they've forgotten, like why are we doing all of this, right? Because hello, remember the Rebbe Shlomo told you to do this, right? So in both directions, it's no good. You have to realize there's a big picture, right? But you have to recall, you have to do the particulars life in a special way, in a unique way, the way that Hashem wants you to do them. And in that way, you link it back to the big picture. So, klolim, the klal, right, the general principle, and the pratim, the individual points, are both necessary. So, in any event, so what do you call it? In Vayakel, so it told us to return back to the big picture, that's through Shabbos, right? And then here in Pekudei, so we return, it counts all the silver and what it went to, right? In other words, he's taking inventory or accounting, right? Going over everything that he received, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and what it went to. And with this, we made these kalim and these kalim and these kalim and these kalim.
It's kind of after the fact already.
Well, no, it's after what do you call your is you giving a tally. Yeah, I said he wants to explain to everybody.
We've already had the concept of forgiveness.
He hasn't built anything yet, though. And the idea is that the pasuk says v'yisim nekiyim me'ashem Yisrael. You should always be clean in the eyes of God and the eyes of the Jewish people.
Oh, that's where you prove that,
right? You have to show that there was no embezzlement here, right? What do you call it? You can say, oh, where's the money, Moshe? Where's the money? Fork over the cash, right? The Medrash even says, it's very interesting, on this pasuk here, look at this. Look at this pasuk here, huh? We see this? It says... It says the kesef pekude ha'eda, the silver that was donated by all the Eden here, ma'as kikar, 100 kikar, right? The elef u'shvamios v'chamisha v'shivim shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. So it was ma'as kikar, it was a tremendous amount, right? And then in addition, there was 1,775 shkalim of kesef, right? In addition to the 100 kikar. And it says, when you go, they gave back a little goles, each one gave over a half a shekel, blah, blah, blah. And with this 100 kikar, right, the ma'as kikar, the 100 kikar, they made all the adonim, all the, what do you call, the sockets on the bottom, right, for the boards to stand in. So then, but Moshe, you just told us in your tally that you collected 100 kikar and 1,775 shkalim. Where's the 1,775 shkalim, Moshe? What'd you do with it? And Moshe couldn't remember where it went, and it's looking really bad, you know, and everybody's going, oh, we know, probably saving that for the one-armed bandits, right? So what do you call it? Then all of a sudden, what does it say over here? Right? It says, right, the 100 kikar went for the Adonim, and then it says a separate pasuk. There's a Elef, Ushvameos, Vishva Hameos, Shva Hameos, these 1,775 shkalim, Asa Vavim Lamudim. They were the hooks, right, for the pillars upon which, what do you call it, the curtains were hung, upon which...
Who's answering that accounting, Hashem or Moshe?
So what do you call it? Moshe was, he's good to remember, and a voice came out of heaven, a bas kol came out and said, Moshe, turn your eyes upward. It went for the hooks. And he said, yes, it went for the hooks. And everybody was happy. So the idea being what he called here in Parshas Pekudei, we got down to the specifics, all the specifics. You know, this silver went for the sockets, this silver went for the hooks, etc., etc., etc. All the particulars. All the particulars. Because not only, right, not only is it important to remember the klal, right, but you also have to have the particulars of life linked to the klal. And this is not enough to have like a broad philosophical, what do you call it, outlook. You know, oh, you know, I know God is the creator and this and that and the next thing. And then, you know, when I go out into life, you know, the way I conduct myself, what do you call it, in my dealings with people, what do you call it, I go to shul, I get bent out of shape, I get road rage, what do you call it, I got this, I got that, I got the next thing, et cetera, et cetera. So all of the individual aspects of life are not linked to that cloud that's all from Hashem. That's not good.
The hooks were used for the hang the curtain?
They had to hang the parochas, yeah. So what do you call it? So you need both. You need both. No, you need both the general, remembering the general principle, not to forget that it's all to be tied back to the source, to Hashem, and you need also that all of the individual things, the acts that you do, should also be tied to that general principle. You can't live a schizoid life. So now,
remember where your money's going.
What?
And remember where your money's going.
Right, right, okay. So now, the pasuk says in Mishlei, the Medrash brings this pasuk, Ish emunos rav brachos, a man of faith, emunos, examples, many examples of emuna, rav brachos, that person is zochet to many brachos. The otz lahashir, but a person who's in a rush to get rich, lo yinakel, he's not going to come away clean. Pasuk in Mishlei. So the Gra explains over there in that pasuk in Mishlei, Hamamin, a person who believes, V'asholim b'midas ha-bitachon, he's a person who's got complete bitachon, Bashem. Lo rav brachos, that person is zocha to many brachos. A person who is a bal bitachon, he's an ish emunos, peace, a person of faith, and I would assume the reason it's written in plural, rather than Isha Muna, it's called Isha Munos, is because whatever event, right, happens, he relates to it with Derech Emuna, right? That's why he's an Isha Munos, right? He's Rav Brachos, he's Zochet to many Brachos, but a person who's in a rush to get wealthy, he's running after the money to get wealthy, he won't come away clean. In other words, if a person, as they were, his attitude is, that would call it everything that I do, I have to link back to the source, who is Hashem, through the medium of Emuna and Bitachon. That person, he's zochet a bracha, because his head is screwed on straight. His relationship with everything that's happening to him in the world is really quite. He realizes it's just the yellow brick road reconnecting him upstairs to Shemayim. So therefore, he's zochet a bracha, because when Hashem sends the bracha down, this is not a bad investment. This person is using it for the good, because he knows what he called. He knows where it all comes from. But a person who's in a rush to get rich, he's not thinking about when it's linked to its source, what the purpose is, etc. He just wants all the money in his pocket. He wants it jiggling away. He wants to be able to buy his Lamborghini, right, etc. It says it's Pasevet. Says it's Vasnevis.
No, I'm okay. Thank okay. you.
Says it's Vasnevis. Says it's Vasnevis. But Medrash, in the Medrash, Ish emunas rav brachos zem Moshe. Who is the person who is the man of faith, right? Who zochet many brachos? That's Moshe. Atz lahashir, a person who's a rush to get rich. That's Korach. Korach, right? I'm from Bamidbar. Korach. Ki kashe lo lama nimnu divrei mishkan. He says what the what do you call it, the Bala Medrash is concerned with is why did they count all the amounts of what do you call it, of the components of the Mishkan. Ordinarily we say it's better not, what do you call it, to make a, it shouldn't be revealed numbers, right? We try not to, because then the Ayin Hara is sholed on it, right? In other words, when a person, as it were, what do you call a person, you point out something, oh, there's 5,000 over here, 10,000 over here, you're already limiting it because you've given it a number, you've given it a limitation, and Ayin Hara, what do you call it, as it were, can affect it. Because better things should always be hidden. So why did Moshe openly count everything and tell everybody how much is here, et cetera, et cetera? That's contraindicated by the general principle that things should be hidden. Kashal lama nimnu divrei mishkan. Vabracha sholetes v'davar she'enu manui. Bracha, right, rests upon something which is not counted. Not counted. It's not known. So why are we counting everything? Well, you want the bracha to come here. How is it going to come once you've counted it? Batshuva bezor ha-kodosh. Gamkein, shekeven shahaya haminyan de Moshe Rabbeinu al Hashalom haya bo bracha. The Zohar says that since Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who counted, therefore there's bracha. And even though counting by definition ordinarily limits things, because what you can't increase something once it's counted, it's there. You've already shown how much is there. But when Moshe Rabbeinu counts, it's not that way. Bracha could still be there. But klal advarim, right? The klal, the general principle is shebeminyan. Ein bracha sholetes kevish nifrat kol echad b'fnei atzel. Since everything is distinct into itself, so there's no bracha there, or on the normal circumstances. Ubli minyan hu bechlal, and when you don't count it, so it's all still of the source, right? That endless source that it comes from. Ubechlal yesh bracha, ki a bracha dovuk b'shorish, right? Whenever something is attached to its source, attached to the source of all sources, Hashem, you should have bracha to it. Once you've cut it off, you made something distinct here in this world, no bracha will come to it. V'lechach mi shihu ish emunos, a person of great faith, like Moshe Rabbeinu, perish nimshach achar hashoresh, he's always tying back. Any individual thing that he does is never just, oh, it's a lot, like one irrelevant, mundane part of Olam Hazeh. Everything is tied back to a source. It's all for Hashem. It's all for Hashem. It's all for Hashem and all from Hashem. So therefore, if you're doing something gashmi, right? That's the opposite of a person who's just trying to get a lot of money. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the essence of what he called whatever I have and whatever there is, it's all back to the Rebbeinu, it's all from that one source. The person who's in a rush to get rich, he's not thinking about what source it's tied to, he's just thinking about how much money am I gonna have. Can I take all this money and I can spend it on good stuff there in the village? Right? Should I go wherever, never mind. Yeah? Okay, let's take off. Okay, right. The Isa Ezo Ashir Samech Bechelko. Who is a wealthy person? A person who's happy with his portion. Meaning because whatever he receives, he's happy with because that's my portion. So therefore you can keep on putting into it. Right? And it's not lost because, okay, that's my portion. He's not trying to get ahead. He's not trying to be outsmart. He's not trying to, what do you call it? I'm not saying you don't have to be a businessman, etc. I'm not saying something against business people. But if you see it as something cut off, then that's not good. Perish. Shekola rotzen ba'asho rakmikoch shemiyuchad lucha lechelko. If this is what Hashem wants to give me, I guess this is what I'm supposed to have. Right? It's always because it's from Hashem. And because then he brings also from his grandfather, from the Chidush HaRiv, Adoni Avi Skeni, right? The next line, right? In the, what do you call it, the paragraph here on the page. Adoni Avi Skeni, Morim Rabbi Zal, Higi, Ala Gemara, Harotza, Shiskaimu, Nechosav, Yitav, Hem, Adar. Adar is the month, Right? But the Gemara says, that in the Gemara Beitza says, if a person wants his assets to remain, he should place in them an adar. It's an adar. An adar is either a tree, right? Right, or that shows where this is my plantation here, or what he called the idea is it's like a preservative. Yitam ben adar, right? Preserves the things over here. So he's saying also, right? This is Chodesh Adar. Perish nechasim isa b'gemara she'al nechasim shem niglid, right? Lezev v'dikte ki ayatzarach lomer she'nigla, what do you call it? I should say nigla, not nechsin. He says, we call the Adar, why is it important to praise an Adar? Because the pasuk says, Adir b'moro b'shem. In other words, the Rebbe's is, if a person wants to hold on to his assets, he should plant an Adar, he should always remember, where is it from? Adir, b'moro b'shem, powerful, right, in the heavens is Hashem. It's all from him, 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 right? That's how you preserve, what do you call it, your belonging. That's how you preserve your successes, that's how you preserve your assets, because remember, it's not mine, it's his, it's always his. Once it's tied to the source, so it's like it's still vibrant. You know, when you cut something off, gone from its source, what happens? It becomes gangrenous, right? It loses its blood supply, it becomes gangrenous and falls away. He says that's why nechasim, assets, are called nechasim. He says the Chazal, says the Medrash, because from one person they're hidden, and from one person they're revealed, right? Right? From one person they're hidden, one person they're revealed. And as one person is interested in showing off all he's got because he thinks it's his, right? The other person, we call it, doesn't really show off, it's not mine anyway, it's Hashem's, right? It's hidden. That's why, what do you call it, the way to hold on to it, is what he called, is not to show, listen to what I did, let me staple my thumbs to my suspenders, right? I got an MBA from Wharton, that's why I'm so successful. So also you think about it, that's this month as well.
How's that?
Right? This month is called Adar.
Adar.
Adir Bamaram Hashem. Because this month, the month of Adar, right? We're on Rosh Chodesh today. Aleph Adar Beis. Yeah? Aleph Adar Beis, that's cute. Yeah? Right, we're in this month here. This is the month where you need to be strong in your emunah. The next month is the beginning of the year. Nisan. Nisan, the time of Nisim Gluyim. Right? Nisan, Lashon Nisim. Miracles. Revealed miracles. Ten Makos. Everybody call it Kriyas Yamsuf. Bang, 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 bang. Sound and light show. Adar, right? The time of Purim. Everything was hidden then. It was hidden. Right? You couldn't see what was going on behind the scenes. Anybody, if they had today's newspapers writing about what happened at the time of Purim, they would so make it into something so cheap, right? They call Mordechai, whoa, what a savvy politician he was, right? That Esther, well, thank goodness for the Jewish people that we had a really gorgeous woman there in the house of what he called the king. Then we left it up to the newspapers, they would turn it into garbage, right? But this month is the month of the Adir Bamar Hashem. This is what preserves us all year, right? Is that when even things are hidden, we got to know that where it comes from. It comes from Hashem. At any event. So the idea being that the counting, right? The counting of the, what do you call it, of all the shkolim here in Parshas, what do you call it? Here in Parshas Pekudei. Right? Oh, you say, that's going to ruin it. There's not going to be bracha. You're counting it. Everybody's known now. How can it be bracha? But when you've got an ish emunos counting it, a person to whom every plot that there is what he called, is always tied back to the source, then that's what he called, that'll continue the bracha. The bracha will continue to come down from the pipeline upstairs. It's only when does counting ruin the bracha in it? Is when you think of it, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Mine, it's mine, it's mine. Everything you come into contact with is just another way of saying it's mine, look what I have. I got 500,000, 560,000, 900,000, 414 million, 18 billion, 36 trillion. It's all mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. So then you're destroying the bracha because you cut it off from its source. It's gangrenous now. The blood supply is going to, what you call, is going to atrophy, and eventually you're going to, the person's going to lose it. But if the person who's, what you call, is counting, is saying, this is one more for the Rebbeinu Shalom, there's another one that belongs to the Rebbeinu Shalom, another for the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's always tied to its source, it'll never wither away. And this, the Sfas Emes says, right? He says, this is a remez. Right? He brings from what he called, he's saying, al derech remez. Eile pekude hamishkan. Pekude can mean counting. Pekude can also be the instructions, like mitzvos, the acts to do. Just like our relationship with money has to be, it's not mine, it's from the Rebbeinu Shalom, right? Tied back to the source. So too in the mitzvos, the pekude hamishkan, the what do you call it? It's a remez to mitzvos. Pekude Hashem Yeshorim, the pasuk says in Tehillim, the instructions, i.e. the mitzvos Hashem, are straight. And that also brings hashras hashchina, right? And in this parsha, if I remember every mitzvah, once again, we said the joke, right, what he called of the chassidim is, right? The litvaks are afraid of what he called of Shia, we're afraid of the Rebbeinu Shalom, right? So you can't forget the klal. But you also have to remember that you're not attached to the klal unless you're attaching all the pratim to the klal. It's not just, you know, some amorphous statement, you know, I believe in God, you know, what he called, that's all I need, I have a Tanakh in my house, right? It has to be that every act that I do is got to be returned to Hashem. And that's what the mitzvos are. The mitzvos, as it were. See, the rem is not only to the countings of your physical belongings have to be tied back to Hashem, but also the mitzvos have to be tied back to Hashem. Perish eich bo hashroas hashchina idea mitzvos, idea should call mitzvah hi, kabolas malchuso. Every mitzvah is an act, an implicit act of accepting Hashem's dominion. Shehu edus shemushubadim anachnu lasos ratzon hamakom baruch hu, to show that we are, what do you call, we are his servants in this world to do his will. Vaydeya edus hazeh shemreisrael beidim alav yizbarach mashra shchina shchinasu ala mitzvos. What do you call, and through using the mitzvos to say we have to do this, this is the tzivui of Hashem. Hashem brings his divine spirit back down on us. Right? So just like in our relationship with our money, if we remember what the source is, the bracha keeps on coming. If we remember that the source of the mitzvos is the Creator, right? And we don't just get caught up in the act, but remember this is all to the act of the Creator, it brings Shechina into our midst. So just like in the Mishkan, right? The counting of all the individual coins, etc., right? Individual coins brought bracha, brought the Shechina in, because in saying that everything that we're going to do in this physical world is all from Him, so too also in the world of mitzvahs, the attitude has to be the same. That these mitzvahs we're doing, not stomachs, we're doing them pro forma. Yeah, mitzvahs hanashim l'mada, we're doing them by rote. But these mitzvahs all come from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that brings His Shechina once again into our midst. And that, right, just like the end of the Medrash was, right, on the Pasuk, right, where the Medrash started, it's brought the pasuk in Mishlei, Ish Emunos Rav Brachos Ve'otz LaHashir Lo Yenakeh. Right, it contrasted Moshe and Korach. Right, Korach was the antithesis of this. Korach was interested in power. He was interested in money. He was interested in being successful. Right, and not only that, but Korach's whole view was based upon because I'm doing it. Right? Even in mitzvos, even in Torah, it's my smarts. It's my smarts. It's my success. It's my diligence even in the mitzvos. And that's not the way to be. Right? The way is I do as much as I can, and then Hashem really just does it for me. He finishes it for me. I do as much as I can. Right? It is every bit of act that the person does has to be colored at the end with humility. It's all from Hashem. Korach, you see, and we'll close with this. Korach, we'll get there a bit to Shem, to Parshas Korach. Remember what he did there? He dressed up what he called all of the men in garments of Tcheles. He says, what do you call, what's the idea, what do you call, what, do, he assumed, the Maral says over there, the Gurari, he assumed that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was going to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me, do these guys need chelis on the fringes? Right? If a beged that has no chelis and requires a fringe, but a beged's all chelis, why should he need a fringe? He assumed that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to answer him and say, you're right, it doesn't need. Right? Doesn't need. And then he was going to say, oh, if that's true, then a beged, that's all chelis, doesn't need a fringe. So the Jewish people are all holy. What the heck do we need you for? Why do we need you so special before? We're all holy. But Moshe Rabbeinu Lamaisa told him, he says, no, it does need fringes. It does need fringes.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is, because, what did that mean? Because Korach said, since I understand, like Chazal tell us, that Tchelis is meant to remind us of the sea. The color of the Tchelis is the color of the sea. The sea is the color of the heavens. The heavens, the color of the Kisei Kavod. So the purpose of Tchelis is to remind us of the Kisei Kavod, right? That's what they would call that the Gemara brings down, right? To remind us of the Kisei Kavod. So I think the case is, we call Torah, so what idea, well, one strand of Tchelis, the whole beged is Tchelis. The whole beged will remind me of the sea reminds me of the sky reminds me of the holy throne of God. So what I need it for? Because Korach thought that because that's a time of the mitzvah that the Chazal teaches, it's a time. He thought that means that's all there is. But that's not all there is. That's the tip of the iceberg. Right? In other words, there's got to be humility in Torah, no matter how much you understand.
But Korach didn't believe in reward and punishment?
He believed in reward and punishment, but he thought that whatever you comprehended, so you know everything in there. He was a big...
He thought
it's all my doing.
Right.
Right, so what am I doing? If I am smart and I'm diligent, he wasn't a slough off. He was very bright, and he knew. Right, I'm smart, I'm diligent, so this is mine. So I understand it, and whatever I understand, that's all there is. Right, that's it. I understand it. I've encompassed it all. One thing, just like with regard to wealth, it's mine. So too with wisdom, it's mine. Right, but it's from Hashem. Right, and what you have, and what we have, is only the tip of the iceberg. Right, it's only the tip of the iceberg. It's only just what you call just a little piece. So it's true that little piece. The Torah tells us, you know, the Tchelis should remind you of the sea, and the sea should remind you of this heaven, and the heaven should remind you of what you call the holy throne. But if you've got a beged that's all made out of Tchelis, I didn't say you're potter from Tzitzis. Why? Because you're right that there's a time over here, but there's much more than what meets the eye. There's much more than just the time that you experience. Mitzvahs are endless.
What do you mean you just thought that the time, the mitzvah is all there is?
Right. In other words, once you've accomplished the time, what do I need to do the mitzvah anymore?
Once you understand it.
Right. Once you understand, he thought he understood the whole purpose. He thought that there's no other purpose for putting tcheles, tzitzis, on the four-cornered garment. Other than just to remind you of what he called of the sea, which reminds you of the sky, which reminds you of the holy throne.
Right.
So if I've got a garment that's made all out of tchelis, what the heck do I need tzitzis on it for?
Uh-huh.
And because that's based on an approach towards Torah, which is not built on humility. It's based on an approach that if I understand, I understand everything. And the answer is, you never understand everything because the Torah is Hashem's name. Just like the what do you call it, just like Hashem's name is endless, Hashem is endless, the Torah is endless. So what do you call it, if we're ever going to stand, we can say we understand, but we shouldn't think we've encompassed everything, because you can't encompass Hashem, so you can't encompass the entire Torah. So therefore, there's no tour from the mitzvah, but it's one more litmus test that shows, yeah, that his relationship with events of this world, be it money and power and fame, or be it even mitzvot, was askew. Was totally askew. It's my accomplishment, right? I'm a great mitzvah doer, right? And then what do you call it? Therefore, I'm pro mitzvah. What do you call it? I get a 10. I can do a jackknife and a backflip. We're going to somersault and then come into the pool. What do you call it? Like a razor blade. I'm a 10. I'm a 10 in mitzvot. There isn't better than that. Ain't davar kaze. Right? The whole connection to everything is to realize that everything we touch is really just the edge of the rope to eternity, to endlessness, to the Boreola. A person understands that, right? Oh, it's so hard to understand, it's so hard to remember. So hard to remember. The guy cuts you off, you know, what he called on the road, right? So I'm standing right now at a crossroads. I can either, what he called, give vent to my spleen, right? And what he called, chase the guy down, pull out my magnum, if this is a harbor freeway, right? 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 Or I can, what do you call it? I should get angry for this. I should cut my rope attachment to Hashem. Get angry, yeah, bent out of shape, totally immerse myself in the morass of Olam Hazeh, right? Which is totally here today and gone tomorrow. Sever my connection to eternity because I want to satisfy my anger, right? I want to give the guy an extra orifice in his forehead, right? It's a messed up approach. But that's what the Parsha is teaching. The Parsha is teaching us that there's a general principle that everything's from Hashem. The only way to demonstrate that is to do every individual act, right, for Hashem. Every individual act for Hashem. Be it in your monetary affairs, whether we're talking about counting the money, or the remez, the Sfasemis says the remez is also to the mitzvos of Itai Hashem. And if I think I can just live, as it were, with the klal, oh, I believe, I'm a good Jew, I believe, it's a good thing, it's right. But what do you call it? If you don't think you need the particulars, the specifics, right, to link back this physical world back to what do you call it, to that source, that general principle, that Hashem is the source of everything, you've made a boo-boo extremo. Okay. So, with Hashem, Hashem should bless us, and we should have the wisdom to integrate, right, what we learned together today, deep inside of our kishkas.